Hey, you're listening to the Live Variety Show with Karen Duddy. On today's show, we have Conjunct Farrell.
Hello.
Hello. And Sister Rogers. Well, two of the members.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Very good. Happy to be here.
Yeah. We're happy you're here. Thank you for taking the time.
Absolutely.
Now, Conjunct, you're a writer, director, producer, actor, and a psychologist.
Yes.
And you're here to talk about your latest show, Landing of the Urban Rebels.
Yes.
So how are you today?
I'm doing very well. And again, just really happy to be here to get out the word about Landing of the Urban Rebels. The play is a bunch of stories about young African Americans who are rebelling against their images in the media right now, and kind of putting a bit of a more positive spin on African Americans and our journeys, and we're telling our own stories about who we are, as opposed to kind of letting the big studios do that for us. So it's a really exciting time.
That's great.
I went into the theater,
yes,
and on Sunday and previewed two of the scenes.
Yes.
Can you talk about the two of them, and we'll probably talk about it.
Oh boy. Yes.
They were amazing scenes. They really were.
The first one was Harold Childs III, and that story is about a young brother who goes and gets educated, and he just thinks he's perfect, and he's dating these black women, and he's just not satisfied. There's something wrong with every single one of them. And at the end of the story, he kind of realizes maybe it's not something that's wrong with the women. Maybe there's something wrong with him. And how he judges people and how he judges women. So that's kind of like his story. Right. And it takes place in his mind. So it's actually you see him on a date, but then you see his imagination playing tricks on him while he's on this date. So that one is really cool. And the other one is Tanisha Baby Doll. And she is the collective representation of all the negative stereotypes of African Americans from hip-hop music. And she's intense, wouldn't you say?
She is. No, she looked at me dead in the eye,
yes,
and called me.
Wow, yeah.
Called me the B word,
yes,
but in the reference to the play.
Yes, she did.
But it was so great because, like I was telling you about, how in my human sexuality class we're watching this hip hop documentary, and how they're talking about how rap degrades women, mm-hmm, and how African American women, mm-hmm, just take it, and they say, you know what, that's them. If they want to call us that, we're okay with it.
Oh.
And
no, it is very much, it's so right, not okay.
And I wouldn't just say African American women. It's reference to all women, in general.
Right.
It's just a reference to all women.
It's
which is sad.
Yeah,
it's true.
Yeah, I unfortunately didn't get to see the play. I'm wondering where. I mean, you wrote all of the scenes.
Everything.
Where did you get the inspiration for all of this? Like, mm-hmm, is it just from your personal life? You know, things that you've been through, or?
Yeah, it's actually a combination of people that I've seen or that I know, or that I know through a degree of separation. So I kind of took all of those things and, you know, turned it into a bunch of narratives,
mm-hmm,
that I think reflects people that I kind of know. And as I was saying to another friend, I don't know anyone named Nicki Minaj or Lil Wayne. I don't know anyone like that. There's nothing wrong with them. I think they do a great job for representing that segmentation of, mm, African Americans, but that's not everybody.
No.
And so more media needs to get out that represents kind of more people.
Yes.
Different people.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, and Tanisha is interesting because she goes at a point and she goes up into everyone in the audience, especially, mm-hmm, people who are not African American females, and say, and you a B and you a MF, so people will know how it feels.
Right.
Mm-hmm. To give them
to be
that
slandered.
That feeling that, you know, because not everyone has experienced that, you
no.
know? And people who haven't experienced don't really know. They don't really know how to relate.
That's right.
And that's that actually, I think that's fantastic that she would do that because, you know, that they find out. They
yes.
can see it. They can feel it.
Yes.
You know? And like you're saying, just the major hip hop stuff, I mean, it just puts such a bad label on all African Americans. I mean, it increases
it
racism
it
rather than decreasing it, helping.
And then you have to battle those stereotypes. Like I go in
right.
with a master's degree, and I'm still fighting, you know, some stereotypes. Really?
Right. But the good thing about this play is that it doesn't define a gender. It doesn't define an ethnicity. It doesn't
That's
define
right.
an age range. You know, because
yes.
anyone can go in and realize, whoa, maybe that's part of my life. Whoa, maybe, you know, I've seen that before, you know?
Yes.
So people actually can relate to,
the play. Well, my stage manager is Italian, and she's 50. my executive producer is Jewish. It was put on by a combination of different people, different races. And it's a very human play. And I think it encourages our generation to kind of wake up and look in the mirror and go, is this who I am? Is this who I want to be? Is this what I want my kids to see and how I want them to be?
Right. Is this how we want to be remembered in the
right.
world? Like, you know?
Yeah.
Ooh. It's not giving a lot of hope for the future.
No.
None whatsoever.
No. And so hopefully, I mean, there are lights and there are shining stars. And, you know, let's get on out there, those of us who that refers to, and let's do what we do and be great artists and make a difference in our generation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, more about it. I have it right here from your website that I found about LOTUR, which is what you call Landing of the Urban Rebels, right?
Yep.
It's just I'm wondering how many people put this together? How many people put in their time and their energy?
Wow.
I mean, not just you. I mean, obviously you did a lot of it, but then, you can't do it alone.
Right? Yeah.
And no. Can you talk about the casting process of it? And
of course, I believe in destiny. I think it was really meant to be. The amount of talent that we got, the people that were there during the casting were like, this never happens. Mm-hmm. Literally, some of the people that were in the cast have gone on to Yale. They've gone on to other mainstream productions. The talent was there. And I think, and they've also said to me, the actors, the writing actually spoke to them. Because it was one of us writing our own narrative, not influenced by the studio, not someone saying, oh, you can't do this because it won't sell, but just the raw, real thing. Mm-hmm. And that motivated them. I mean, the actors, they give 120%. Probably about 40 people together between the executive producer, myself, the interns, the actors, just the whole everybody, the crew. You can go online and check it out. It took to put this together,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Where can they go online? Did you say it?
They can go to www.ievolveproductions.com, and they can see the actors. And I have that on tape. I got the actors to talk about what it was like to do this play.
Wow, that's great. That's
yes.
awesome.
And their responses were good.
That's good.
Can you talk about iEvolve Productions a bit more? I know you founded it in 2010.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. What was your message? What was your purpose of founding, iEvolve?
iEvolve is really a production company that creates work that challenges stereotypes and negative perceptions, not just about African Americans. I'm going to do one called In Defense of the White Man. Mm-hmm. There's things about gender and sexuality and just everything that are stereotypes that we really haven't addressed as a society and tried to move past. That's what I want to do things on. And I am a therapist, a mental health therapist, and I thought the best way to maybe get some of these psychological concepts into society is to do it through art. So that's pretty much what the company is about, really just transforming people and the way we look at each other through art.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic, yes.
Thank you.
And thank you, for coming on and talking with us about this.
Absolutely.
Where is it at? Where is it located? The play going to be at?
It's going to be at the Two Roads Theater in North Hollywood. You can get tickets online on our website. I would suggest that because it's getting to the point of being sold out, and it will be worth every dime, every moment of time. Believe me, we've had people crying when they come out. People happy. People, you know, it's really one of those powerful experiences because of the work the actors do.
Mm-hmm. How long has it been running? Is it?
It ran once in 2008, but I did it while I was in graduate school, so I couldn't keep it going.
It's
I was
a lot.
Going to grad school. Yeah, full time. It was too much. But this one is going to be for this weekend, and then we're going to do another run at the end of May, and that one's going to be a bit longer.
Let's go back on track with giving messages out with art.
Okay.
Now, you have a YouTube channel, and this is the reason why I wanted you here, because I saw one of your YouTube channels where you were pouring, crying, and so real and so raw. What was that message that you wanted to bring out?
Well, first of all, I think that we need to be more authentic as human beings in our society, and we walk around every day like everything is fine and everything is okay and you can't show an emotion except for happy and everything's fine. Sometimes everything is not fine, and sometimes it's good to not suffer in silence. It's good to let your emotions out so that the community can see where you are and you can hold whatever your pain is with other people. And so that's kind of what we do on our station, our YouTube channel, is we do pieces that are real. They're not just happy moments. They're the human experience.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's amazing because, you know, you're actually using your voice for a good thing.
Yeah.
On YouTube, when we see just a bunch of stupid other videos on YouTube that are not really worth
our
time.
Yeah.
I got a few I can say. Yeah. Well, it's good that you're using, like you said, using that for something positive and something to put your voice out there and like it was meant to be used.
Yes.
But
yeah.
At the same time, you're actually influencing everyone else to be heard because, you know, everyone complains about something, but yet they don't do anything about it. They don't, you know, they have a voice to be heard, but yet they don't do it, you know?
Do it.
If they have, like, a small camera, if they can video chat, they can be heard, you know? If they have something to say, they can do it because it's online. It's free. You don't need a production for it.
Yes.
You know?
And trust. I mean, I'm the biggest dork in the world. If I could do this,
right.
You know.
Anyone can do this,
really.
Yeah, no.
Yep. Well, like you said, you wanted to talk about your education. I mean, I'm looking here on your biography, and you're just so successful in your training and your skills. It says Pepperdine, your psychology, BS, USC, performing arts. I mean, would you like to talk more about that?
Yep, I'm educated. I don't think my parents were going to have it any other way. And I think it's good to actually be an artist on the other side of education because you know what you're doing. Like, I know as an artist and as a producer what message I send and the responsibility that I have as an artist. And maybe at 20, I wouldn't have known that. I might have put things out and done things in a different way. But at this age, I'm 30, I know what I'm doing. And so it's actually better that I had the education first. And I would suggest that everyone do what you're doing right now. Get your education. Because I know people from music school who were so talented, but they haven't had their break yet, and they don't have health insurance, and they're barely surviving, and they're 29, 30 now. Mm-hmm. So really, we have to be a little more rational about, you know, how we go about being artists.
Yeah, well, and you're saying, like, it would have been so much more difficult had you not gone through. And I know so many artists who constantly, like, oh, education's so overrated. Like, I can do it. I can do it because I'm awesome.
That's called delusional.
Exactly.
Don't do that.
It's not real. It's not a real thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. It was worth it. Get your education so that you can be a non-desperate artist. Because when you get desperate, that's when you go to Funky Town and you do all kind of funky stuff. Don't do it.
So, yeah, as an artist, you got to pay the bills. No telling what you're going to go start doing.
Yep.
See, and that's another thing. Like, they say that they're artists and they can do it by themselves, and then they end up, like, you know, in that situation, and they want people to feel bad for them. Well, you know what? Go back to school then.
Go back. Take yourself back to school. That's right. Do it. We did it. And really is in your best interest.
And I can relate. Like, I when I was younger, I was always, I love to sing, and I, you know, I can act slightly, and, you know, and it was always something I really enjoyed doing. But I'm 26 now, and I'm like, I'm not going to get anywhere with this. I mean, with the economy the way it is, I'm going back to school. That's all I can do. And you know what? I love it. I'm glad I went back to school.
Yes.
You know what I mean? If I had not, you know, where would I be now?
You make a very important point, too, with the economy going as it is now. Mm-hmm. If you're an artist, you better be making your own stuff and pushing and selling your own stuff, because deals are nothing like they were. Everything from production deals to music deals, you need to be doing it. And you need to make your own money right now. And that's really the bottom line.
Yeah.
You know? It really is.
That is it. You're right. And that's another thing. Like, I always wanted to write my own music or do this and that. I had no idea how to do it, you know? And I thought, oh, I'll just come up with something random. No. And since I've been in school, I've come up with so many great things, but it took going to school to do it. It took education to get there.
Yes. Absolutely.
Back to you, Conjunct. Let's talk about You just came back from a show in Japan, is that right?
Yes. Show? Actually, I came back from Hong Kong.
Oh, Hong Kong, okay.
And young people, the world is your oyster. You do what you do, and you do it well, and you can sell your ideas anywhere in the world. I created a burlesque show called Brown Sugar Burlesque, and I pitched it internationally, and I got a gig in Hong Kong.
Oh, wow.
So I was in Hong Kong for a month and a half.
Crazy.
Producing my burlesque show. And in Hong Kong, they like brown sugar in Hong Kong. I did not know that. I was like, oh, you like brown sugar. And they were like, well, we like brown sugar. I was like, okay.
We're all about it. That's fantastic.
Yep. That's fun.
Fun, yeah.
And you're bringing them back to America.
Yeah, it's so, they're hilarious because I get like random Facebook posts from people out there, brown sugar. We love brown sugar. More brown sugar.
Would you like to talk about a little bit about, I know this is just a random on the side, I'm reading more about you. A fun fact that you have says that you once worked as Hillary Clinton's intern.
Yes.
Just for a couple semesters. How was that? That's really interesting
to
me.
It was challenging. And I will say that Hillary Clinton is one of the best managers I've ever had the privilege of working for, micro to macro. She would remember everything from a complex schedule to an intern's middle name in one breath. So she was pretty phenomenal.
That's rare to find in politics, I'm sure.
She's really phenomenal. And it was challenging, and I think in the process I found that for me, I come from a political family. My dad was one of the first African-American politicians in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought maybe that would be the route that I would go, but it doesn't work for me. I think I'm a little too artistic, a little too authentic in some things, and I think I say what I mean too much for a political career as politics is structured today. So great experience, drove home a solid work ethic. But I think I'll just support politicians. I don't think I want to be one.
There's a lot to that.
No thanks.
Now, you work 10 times harder than a politician because how do you find yourself juggling all of this, like writing, directing, producing, working, and acting and all this stuff?
Quite honestly, I didn't. I sacrificed a lot of my own social time. Mm-hmm. I'm just now getting back to having friends saying, hi, do you remember me? They're like, oh, yeah, Kanji, 96. You know, but it really takes that discipline and working around the clock. I really work around the clock.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And but that's just what it takes. And we only have so many moments in our life. And before we go, you know, what do we want to do? And I cherish every moment that I'm alive, and I want to do something with every moment.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty much what keeps me going.
That's good. That's a good way to live. I mean, you know, you won't lose anything. You won't look back and regret. You're never going to be like, gosh, I wish I hadn't done everything I always wanted to do with my life. You're not going to look back and regret anything about it. And that's just fantastic.
Yeah.
You're definitely an inspiration.
Good.
You know?
I hope so.
If not just me, I'm sure many people.
I hope so.
Yes.
That's good. And I would highly encourage everyone to just remember that, too. Life is not promised. And you only got a certain amount of moments. Right. And use them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I just wanted to... I have one more question for you.
Sure.
It says that you... Because obviously you're on our radio show and you're talking to us. You were in broadcast radio for a minute.
Yeah.
And what advice can you give to budding broadcast radio people like ourselves?
My gosh.
I mean, there's got to be something.
Well, I worked at Power 106. And I worked there for 3 years. Mm-hmm. And I was on the street team. And I got there from a job that I had at DreamWorks Films doing promotion. So what I would say is and I got the DreamWorks job because I had a really high GPA. So
nice.
I would say be exceptional. If you know, not just good, that is not enough. Be the best, the undeniable best. So, you know, be technically on top of everything, know how to work the whole room, know what everything means more so than whoever's in there now.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what's going to get you a good reputation. Good reputation will get you referrals. Referrals will get you the jobs. Because a lot of competitive radio stations in place like this, sometimes they get people from, like, castings. But a lot of the times it's from knowing someone.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
How do you feel about networking? Is it a good thing, bad thing?
I think networking is fantastic. I think that it's better in formal settings, like at a Pierce College mixer or at a music industry organization mixer. Nothing ever good has ever happened from a party to me. I've never been at a party, and it's never happened. Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah, networking events are fantastic. You should definitely do them.
Yeah, so you're just definitely against the whole. If you go to this party or that party, you're going to meet that cool actor who's going to cast you in the next big movie or whatever.
No, he's not going to.
They're
going to
forget about you like the next morning. I don't remember her.
Yeah, they're going to be drunk and partying. They won't. No. And I need everyone to really understand the competition for acting. It's a technical job too, and you had better be fierce. Mm-hmm. Because if you're not, forget it. Right. Different industry. Yep.
Got it. You got to stand out.
That's it.
I think it's the whole artistic industry itself. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's so cutthroat and so
competitive.
Yeah.
It is.
It's scary.
And remember, a lot of people are delusional too. They think that they can do it, but they can't. Let me just say, don't look in the mirror and lie. Look in the mirror and tell yourself the truth. If you're not good, get better. Fix it. Mm-hmm. Fix it and you have a chance to succeed.
Thank you. That's great. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, Conjunct, for being here with us. Mm-hmm. Now, can you tell us more, like, all the info for this
play?
Upcoming show? Yeah, like the time, date, and place.
Everything else, once again, yes, we know.
Okay, it is this weekend, April 8th. 9th and 10th, April 8th is Friday at 8 p.m., Saturday the 9th at 8 p.m., Sunday the 10th at 3 p.m. It's at the Two Roads Theater in North Hollywood. You can Google that. Mm-hmm. And if you want to buy tickets, I'd say go to our website and buy them online because we're like quickly selling out. And if not, you might be able to get some at the door.
How much are the tickets, by the way?
They're $20, and if you bring your student ID, $15.
Sweet. So, oh, yes. And it does you're that peer students.
It does include
refreshments.
And
yep. So we'll feed you, and we'll, you know, give you a little something to wet your whistle. We'll take care of you. Right. And it's going to be a transformative experience if you come.
Yes.
Yep. Awesome.
Well, thank you again so much for taking time out of your really busy, obviously very busy schedule.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Thank you for coming.
Now, next up, we have two members of a really, really amazing band from Sister Rogers. Here's Erica and Sam.
Hello.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. That was such a beautiful interview. I'm so happy to be here. So inspiring.
Thank you. Yes.
So nice
very inspiring.
To meet. Yes. I'm really happy.
Yes. Well, we're glad we could have both of you guys at the same time. Like, it's just, it's, you know, she was definitely very fantastic, very inspirational. Can I ask if you got any inspiration from hearing all that?
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, you learn something new every day, and I'm like so happy this interview went together with her because I think what we have with our music is something definitely that is really connects with what she was just talking about as a, you know, musician, artist. So I'm really happy that she was talking about that stuff because it's definitely a responsibility when you're an artist of any form to have to say something, a message for people and to inspire them in any way. You know, it doesn't have to be that big of a just thing. It's just even the simplest thing to inspire someone. So
no, that's why I wanted both of you guys
to
come in because
unfortunately
you're...
the whole band isn't here because we had a video shoot last night till 2:30 a.m. We wrapped and everyone had to go, and then a lot of the band members have school and so it was just us two that are free. But you know, we're like, you know, really happy to be here. So
how many band members are there in your band?
All in total, it's a six-piece band.
Six-piece band. And what are the instruments?
Yeah, what does that entail?
We got upright bass, drums,
Chris,
guitar.
Jenny plays drums. Carlos does
plays the keys and vocals
and
percussion. Ryan.
Ryan and then Sam plays guitar and the boys have some kind of chorus parts. They sing and and then I sing. So.
That just reminded me of the chorus that you were coming up with.
Oh, yeah. I'm building a choir.
You're building a choir. Right, so is that an official thing? Or...
Yeah, yeah. It's I mean, you know, when you bring up an idea, you have to sell it though in the band. I mean, you know, so for future recordings, you know, I want to get that vocal aspect in there. And yeah. It's just stuff we're playing around with right now that will be coming out hopefully by this year.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Wow, great. So what is it? You're going to be... What was the photo shoot for, actually, that you were out till 2:30?
It was a video shoot for, like, a short film in at this old, like, really
haunted,
eerie, haunted
hotel.
Aztec hotel in Monrovia, yes.
Was this for a single of yours? Or?
Yeah, it's one of our newest songs that this music video director wanted us to... He had a short film idea of a 1930s murder mystery thing, and then one of our newest songs that it's not recorded in the EP yet is what he wanted us to be involved in. So it's like the whole band playing on a 1930s hotel. Everyone's dressed like in the 1930s, and there's like a love story, and there's different scenes while we're performing the song live, where there's a lot going on in different of the rooms in the hotel. Mm-hmm. So it was really cool. It was really, really fun, and I'm excited to see it when it comes out. We'll definitely put it on our website, and you know,
it'll probably be ready by this week, actually.
Yeah,
by this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, assign a director, and he said it should be edited and ready to go pretty soon.
That's really mm-hmm. quick.
That's great. Yeah, that's quick. Fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, he works fast. He's a really fast worker.
Was that exciting for you guys getting out there? I mean, obviously tiring.
It was. Yeah. It was tiring, but it was a blast. I had fun.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun. We try and find ghosts last night.
We went ghost hunting.
We're like, where are the ghosts?
You guys
Let's
scaring
go
each other?
Find them. And we did scare each other.
We had a pillow fight. We had a pillow fight in one of the rooms.
And then we ran to some room and we found really weird, like, Halloween mask things. It was really scary, actually.
Creepy.
It was really creepy. And I was like, let's get out of here. Let's go home. We have to go to Pierce College tomorrow. So come on, let's go.
I don't want to.
Now let's talk about, since you guys are so many in the band, is it a big happy family with you guys, or is it
I mean,
crazy at times,
throwing things at each other, mics and whatnot?
I didn't mean it that way.
Well, I mean,
like,
we have like
the schedule and stuff.
Yeah, we have like the core members that are the ones that are, you know, that are always there. You know, we're still
whether
you know,
we're playing or not, we're always there together.
Yeah. But pretty much everybody's like,
everybody. Yeah. It's
very family.
We're pretty good friends, so it's kind of we just go and hang out and go to certain events together mm-hmm. when we're not playing. It's just because we know we're friends, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the best thing I think about the band is that even if we're not playing, not in a band together, we'd still be hanging out regardless. So that's what's cool. You know, you get to play music with your friends, you get to practice with them, and then you get to go hang out after or you know, go to the movies or whatever you're going to do, you know. It's nice because a lot of people are in bands and it's just business, you know, and they go and then they go and they talk bad about each other, you know, if they had a bad rehearsal or something, and then they just go and, you know, that's not healthy, you know. Especially mm-hmm. if you're doing something you love, and everybody in the band loves to play music, and they love each other, so it's like...
We're growing together. We learn from each other, you know, and we're happy to, like, learn new, like, things from each other musically, and it's really good. I think it's great. We're all really blessed to have each other as a band.
Absolutely.
How long have you guys been... who you are? I mean, was it always this? Have you been in other bands or?
First, I've been always been playing my solo stuff, which is something a lot more like sentimental and finger-picked folky songs. And I was playing my solo stuff for a long time until I met Sam, and he's been playing classical guitar and just being Sam. Until we met, and then we started the band. So it's like we found, like, I've been looking for people to collaborate with, but I've never really felt like I could be, like, as close. For me, it has to be, like, we have to be close first, and then we can start working together till we found each other. And now we're in a band together with Sam, Carlos, and Ryan, and Jenny, and our bassist, Chris. And it's nice to have everybody, you know, like a full-piece band.
Yeah,
it's like you need all the instruments, and it's like we've been together for 2 years.
It's about to go into 2 years.
About to go into years.
Wow. Which a year and a half.
Or bands, that's still very new, but we feel like definitely like we known each other for way longer time, but we definitely have a lot of work to do, and you know, we only get together once a week, but I feel that we could get a lot done, you know, and once we start meeting more than once a week, and so.
Yeah, how did you guys meet?
Yeah.
When and how? When?
That's so funny. Well, I thought it was really interesting that the previous interview was saying, you know, yeah, like you shouldn't meet people at parties.
But we
met at parties. So, and I've actually, yeah, I met a couple of people that I keep in touch that have helped me a lot, and I've met them at parties. But I
get what she was saying. You know, what she was saying made perfect sense. But.
Yeah.
You know, our situation is a little rare.
It's rare, yeah, definitely rare. But we met each other at a party, and I met Jenny at a party too, actually. It was a 2023 thing called, it's a loft where all these musicians would play.
Right.
Met her there. We're at it's a, it's like
I
a
met
party.
Ryan at a party too.
Yeah.
It was like a party.
Well, it's like those kinds of parties where everybody's playing music till morning. So it's like,
yeah, those are fun.
You see everyone play, like nonstop playing music, piano, playing any 1920s ragtime songs till morning. And it's just like, that's how we, a lot of the bands actually met each other. A lot of our friends that we know. So,
well, how long has it been?
Since what?
Since you? How long have you been the full
the
full,
Sister Rogers? I'd say like a year.
It was October of 2009 when we had our first show, I think.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wait,
yeah.
Is it 2000?
I don't know. No, not nine.
That was
yeah, 2009. Yeah,
two, almost
yeah, yeah.
2 years.
Almost 2 years. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That was our first show together as a band. But the band members have changed. Like the. We don't have the same drummer or bass player.
It happens.
So it's okay, but we're still friends with them. They just have a lot of things going on with school. One of them lives in like Orange County. We had to like have someone closer and more available. That's the reason mostly. But we still hang out. We're friends, you know? So
that's good. Who came up with the name Sister Rogers?
That's always the question.
That is. That's always the question.
It's a very interesting name. I mean, you know.
Because it is, because it's only two chicks and like, what, three or four guys.
Four guys. Mm-hmm. Well, it was something that just came from a friend that Sam, our original like first bass player, he came up with a name. Then he left, so we just kept the name. We thought of changing it, but we didn't because we just liked the name. But it doesn't, it's definitely something that we didn't create. It just created itself, you know?
Yeah, it was just a name and it didn't really have any meaning or anything. It was just sounded good.
Those are the best ones, too.
And
yeah,
then
it's just kind
of appear out of nowhere.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to sit here and tell you some crazy story that came to me in a dream, but no, it's just what it is. It's simple.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
If you're in a band, you need a name, and that's the name.
Where do you guys?
I was fine with it. I heard it. I was like, yeah, Sister Roger sounds good. I'm like, I like it.
Yeah, it's
funny. Where do you guys play most often?
Well, we've been playing. We play all over town. Like we played at a dome in Joshua Tree. We've played in Riverside. We've played all over LA. So we haven't really played like at a specific spot, but we do have a month residency in Tex in Echo Park. And it's all the month of June, every Thursday, starting at 10:30. So we're going to have different friends, like, playing with us every night, every week. And it should be really fun. I'm excited about that. And we have a show to play in Hollywood in the mid of this month. We have a wedding to play on the 30th. And we're playing that restaurant in Echo Park on the 23rd. So it's kind of like people hire us to play at weddings now, I guess. And we've played at different places, like in hotels. The Erwin Hotel has hired us to play there. And just different anywhere, you know, where we feel like it's the right place.
Is there a favorite one that you've had, though? Someplace that you just loved playing at it and would like to do it again? Or
well, everywhere it's been
pretty fun. I think yeah, everywhere we play.
It's everywhere. It's just because we're all together and, you know, we always have a nice crowd, actually. And it's just every show, it's always fun and unique on its own. So we haven't really been like, this is our spot only. Because mm-hmm. as a band, you have to be open to like everywhere, to play anywhere, you know? So
always on the go.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about the big news right now about mm-hmm. Ink Magazine. So how do you guys feel about
that?
Yeah,
we haven't seen it yet. It's like the April issue, and we are really excited because our friends, the Summer Twins, are in it. And we haven't seen the magazine. It's out, but it's online. It's going to come out in a couple days. So I'm just going to order the magazine online, I guess, and get it in print. But when it comes out online, we'll definitely put it on the
Facebook. So you're
going to
be on the cover?
We don't know.
Oh, I see.
Who is on the cover yet? It's either Jen Tiersen, who...
He
did the whole Amelie soundtrack. There's a lot of really good bands in the magazine. There's the Dodos and Sam. What's his name? Kim and Tammy.
It's a music issue. Usually, yes. It's like a very like fashion oriented magazine.
It's fashion.
This is gonna be more focused on bands. There's a lot of nice well known bands in there. There's a list. I can't think of them. Right off
there's
the top
a
of my
whole
head,
list, yeah, and they're really good. I just, the one that stood in the most is Jen Tiersen, just because I love the Amelie soundtrack, and he's a great composer, and that's why it's stuck in my head. But there was a whole list of bands, and when it comes out, you know, we'll see what it is. So
let's talk about your fashion, since I'm pretty sure Ink looked at your guys' fashion. Mm-hmm. That's why they wanted you there. You guys have such distinct fashion compared to other bands. I mean, what are your influences with your fashion and your style?
I like wearing a suit. It's fun. Any excuse to wear a suit, up for it. A cocktail party, even a wedding. I don't know. I like wearing a suit.
The boys really like suits. I just think it's interesting because I just dress the way I dressed. I've always liked since high school, you know, I've had same clothes since high school, actually. And when Jenny and I dress up to go play shows, it's just like we were going to go out to an event and it's what we wear. And apparently that style, which is really, you know, it's like I want to look nice but not slutty. And I want to look classy too, because that's how, you know, I just like clothes that have nice patterns and colors, and I feel comfortable in. I can wear dresses, and I guess people really like the way we dress, and it's not like we meant to or anything. It's just what we like, you know.
And that's so great. And I want to say it's refreshing to see a band and to have a female lead singer not dressed slutty, as you say, you know. See, you have your image, and you know, express it the way you do. That's really awesome. Yeah. You know, I did enjoy. I like your shoes.
Yeah. I mean, this is just what we wear. You know, I mean,
By the way, I like your shoes.
I like to wear a lot of hats too, which is, you know, I'm not wearing a hat right now because it's really hot outside. But it's like, I like hats, dresses, and heels, and like cute shoes and different color socks, and you know, like that's just what I like, and people like it. And Jenny dresses like that. People like the way we dress, and we didn't mean to, you know.
I'm sorry, we didn't mean to.
we didn't mean to dress nice. We just like to dress nice. But no, they really like the music too, because I saw the bands, and they actually picked something that has something to say. The magazine did.
Right. Well, does it feel good to know that you're in a magazine with somebody who, you know,
I admire,
like somebody you admire? I mean, that's got to be a really great feeling.
Yeah, it feels great. I'm just happy that we can be taken seriously like that, you know, that, oh, yeah, they look good and they're all young and they can play good music, but they can play good music. That's what's more important to me. And I just feel really happy that we can be taken seriously like that.
Yeah, I'm excited because that guy, Jan Tersen, I've liked him for like a while, and he's just a great, he's not really like a, he has his own band, and I'm pretty sure he tours and stuff, but he's also like a composer, and his music is like quality music. It's not just let's get on stage and have a 4-piece band
and
the tibula drums. He you know, he does some avant-garde stuff in there, you know, with different sounds, and you know, his accordion playing is amazing. And you know, I'm just excited because maybe he'll read our article, you know.
Yeah, and
to
I
be
just
in the same
wanna,
magazine,
yeah, I
you
just
know?
Wanna,
that's just a cool thought for
he
me.
He just might
I
see
told
him.
The
might
editor,
like, oh, it's this band, you know.
If
like,
if I see him, that he's going to play a show in L.A., because I was going to go, actually. But nobody could come with me, and the tickets were kind of expensive. And I was like, I'll buy anyone. I put it on Facebook. Who wants to come to Yentier? So nobody replied. And I think I was like, I don't want to go by myself. But now I know that if he comes and plays in L.A. again, I will go and then just have him, like, I just come to his show, whether to meet him or not. Just be like, hey, you know, how are you? And
awesome.
I play accordion, you know. It's not like I'm, like, that amazingly classically like him, but I really do like to play accordion, and it's nice that, you know, he's, like, I just, like, really feel inspiration from what he's composed for the movie also and when he performs live, so it's nice.
The thing that I like about you guys aren't the same indie band where it's just acoustic guitar and, like, all that stuff. You guys have different types of instruments. You guys have a different type of feel. Some can say elevator music.
Mm-hmm.
elevator music. No, that's smooth jazz. You gotta think
yeah.
of
yeah,
yeah. No, but people... Believe me, people, I don't know.
Yeah,
we'll get that.
Yeah, like we're having a conversation before we came in here. You know, the quality of music definitely is going down. You know, I hate to say it, but people, like, they'd be shocked. Sometimes we play shows and they're shocked to see a band, you know, like that we sound, you know, kind of jazzy. But we're really not jazzy. You know, I'm not a great jazz guitarist. Yeah, I don't know what jazz is, but some people will just, you know, generalize it as, oh, that's a jazz band. But really, we have some, like, bossa nova influence in there, a lot of it, and some samba, and then we have our other influences. You know, Carl Lissner played that kind of stuff, and he's always kind of played by ear, and he throws that influence in there. So it's a lot of things coming in, you know, and everybody likes the old Dixieland jazz, and you know, that's, I don't know, things are kind of morphing right now, as I spoke to you earlier in the week, and we'll see where it goes, you know?
Yeah, but it will always have that classic bossa influence in it, but we are adding, you know, more electric instruments that are that coming from that jazz, Brazilian jazz, bossa influence. And I think it's nice, you know, it's like, I can't remember the last person I was talking about this, but it's like, after bossa nova was introduced in America in the 60s, and it hasn't been that long ago. After that was George Ben in the 70s, and then nobody ever really did anything with bossa after that I can say, like, oh, that, you know, this is great, and it's, or, you know, I just feel like now it's kind of like a lost art of music. But I really like it. Sam really likes it. We're trying to bring it back of what would they do if they were our age? And, you know, with the instruments we have and the technology we have now, create what sound with this kind of influence? And so I like it.
No, it's great because it has this classic feel, but yet it's very youthful.
Yeah, I don't want to come off of like, oh, we're the only people doing it. We're doing something new, because nothing is really new. Everybody's taking something from another
nothing
person.
New
and you know, we're just arranging it in our own way. And I think, you know, I have no problem saying, you know, like, I'm really influenced by Baden Powell or Chico Buarque, and I really like their ideas. And I mean, I don't hear that every day. That's what's really different, you know. And, you know, my goal and my role in this band is to, you know, I could always promise quality music, you know, a quality progression, you know, something interesting, you know, when things need to be very simple and catchy, they'll be simple and catchy. When things will be more complex and different rhythms, you know, like, it's just not going to be a band that, hey, I just, you know, I found 3 chords and let's make a song, you know, even though sometimes that's the perfect thing to do. But I, you know, I just, that's my promise that, you know, I'm going to put thought into my music. When you see us play live, there's going to be thought put into each part, every little detail. It's not going to be just some, hey, I'm going to be in a band because I want to be in the LA scene. And that's the cool thing to do. You know, I'm doing it because I love playing guitar. I love making music. And I'm going to, you know, that's how I think everybody feels. You know, we're going to put some thought into this and raise the standards a little bit in music and not just get loud and turn our amps up to 11. Or maybe sometimes we will because that's what's necessary. But you know, we're doing it because we love music. You know, I like classical music. I like jazz. I like, you know, I like rancheras. You know, I like everything, you know.
How do you guys write your music? Is it everyone in the band putting in 2 cents or is it strictly 2 people or... And you know, how do you do that? How do you come up with that?
It's interesting. Like, most of the time, I'll have, like, a progression or something, you know, and I'll bring it to Carlos or to Erica and see what, just right off the back, see, you know, what they have in their head. What can they bring to it? And just, like, we'll just sing over this. And if it works, it works. If not, I'll make a suggestion to, like, maybe this is kind of what I hear in my head. Mm-hmm. I'll kind of hum it out or figure it out on piano. Mm-hmm. And we'll just kind of combine forces and it'll come out. Or sometimes maybe I'll have a full progression out and a melody, and then they'll add their texture and color to it with whatever instruments and rhythms they're going to throw in. Or Erica will have a melody and some vocals, and I'll see what chords I could slap on there. It's like making a sandwich.
Yeah.
We just it's like going to Subway.
I like that. It's like making a sandwich.
We just went to Subway. It's just like that.
You have to have, like, you know, the mustard, and it's the same thing. It's just, and then, you know, with the songwriting, like Sam writes, and he has to have, like, quality, and he promises that. The same with me when I write the lyrics for it. There has to be a meaning, but that comes from, you know, me, and it's not, like, me trying to be something or say something that it's not. It's what it is, and the lyrics just happen to flow perfectly. And Sam and I show them to him, and we make it fit, and that's how we work in this band, you know?
It's a lot of, like, you know, I could use all these musical terms and talk like that, but really, like, I play what I feel. You know, if I have a progression, you know, I sometimes I'm cheesy about it, you know, like, visualize it. That's why I like film composers.
No.
Like, yeah, I mean, yeah, sometimes it's too cheesy for them, but no. I like playing what I feel.
So you're the cheese in the sandwich.
Yeah. I'm the maple syrup on the pancakes. That's what I tell them. But I know, it's just good to laugh. That's what I do. Yeah. But, you know, seriously, like, I think, you know, if I visualize, like, a scene that goes with a sound, that's how I, you know, Ryan's really good at that with me. Like, me and Ryan could just imagine things with the music, and that's how we know we like it. You know, and that's how I could go with it. I'm like, okay, that works, because I could see this happening, you know. I don't know if that makes any sense, but it makes sense to us in the band. I don't know.
You have to, like, the boys have, like, a big imagination, and they imagine a scenario.
Yeah, I think
imagination's coming up. It's like a whole scenario, like something in space, and they're all up there, you know, floating. I don't know what they think about, but they talk about it, and, like, that's what I want you to do, Ryan. I want you to just, you know, you're up there in space, and you're close, you know, like, you're floating. What would you do if this and this happens? And that's how they come up with their things. I think that's funny.
So what made you want to sing in Portuguese? That's another thing.
Well, because of the bossa, you know, we first started playing we played a lot of bossa covers, and they're all in Portuguese.
There's a lot of gigs that we have, like, different kinds. Like, see, we have a wedding gig.
Like, the wedding, we have to play.
We have to play for 2 hours, so we need 2 hours of repertoire. So we'll do some standards, Brazilian standards. And sometimes, you know, Erica will sing in Portuguese, or if they have English parts, they'll be in English. But, yeah, you know, so she'll do her best, you know, to sing it in Portuguese.
And then when I've had a friend, she lived in Portuguese, and now she teaches English, Spanish, and Portuguese. And
In Brazil, yes.
Sorry. And then she came back to L.A., and I was like, what did you think when I sang? Can you tell I'm just singing in Portuguese? Does it sound like I could be Brazilian? She's like, no, I was actually really surprised. Your Portuguese is really good. And I, you know, there was, like, certain little parts where you can tell there's another language that you know. But she was like, mostly you were really good. And I was, like, so happy. I was like, yes. The next step is, you know, fooling a Brazilian person who speaks fully Portuguese, come to our show and be like, and then they'll come and talk to me in Portuguese and be like, you have to tell me something in English or Spanish, and then we'll talk. And I really want to know from, like, a person who's fluent in the language. But
can you say something in Portuguese?
I just know how to sing the songs. I know saudade, and I know just little words. I know. From the songs. And I knew, well, before I sang them, I have to know what it means. So I read their translations. And I was like, okay, good. I like this. But it's definitely something, you know, I want to take lessons and learn from my friend to teach me little things little by little.
But the bad thing about that is if you used Google Translator, it might not
it's
come
not,
out.
It's not
no.
like
No, like, no, like be... the songs are already okay. translated in books. Right. So,
that's,
no.
That's
a good phrase is a good phrase in Portuguese is gente boa. It means good people.
Yeah.
Gente boa.
Yeah, yesterday, actually, I was taking the Amtrak to LA to meet up with Erica, and I actually met a Brazilian tourist. And she was translating some stuff for me, and then she was telling me some terms, and that was a good one. I really liked it. Gente boa.
What
like,
about that one?
Você é gente boa. That means you're good people.
Yeah. What about that other one?
Pai tu quero.
Yes. Like
yeah. There, you know, and that's another thing. I really like all these Brazilian standards and stuff. And just from the rhythm, the melody, the harmony, just excellent. And I'm always telling Ryan, man, if I understood Portuguese like really, really well, it would just open another dimension of how great the song is, you know?
Yeah.
So that's kind of like a motivation to actually learn. I took a semester during school before of Portuguese, Brazilian Portuguese, because you know, there's a difference of Portuguese,
right.
you know?
Yeah.
And
Portugal.
Actually, that's where I got the idea to start the band, actually, because we had to listen to a recording, and it was Antonio Carlos Jobim and Elis Regina singing Aguas de Março, and we had to translate the lyrics. It's like a poem. And I was like, wow, that was the first time I ever heard a bossa, actually, to tell you the truth. You know, I was completely ignorant of it. And, you know, I shared it with my friend Danny at the time, and I was like, hey, let's do a bossa band, like, and just learn. And but then he was like, okay, but how do you play bossa nova? And I was like, well, let's figure it out, you know? And then that's how it started. And, you know, like, I started learning about seventh chords, because back then I just played rock and roll and classical guitar. And classical guitar, you just read what's on the sheet and interpret it musically, but you don't, you know. And that's kind of how it started. And then we met Erica, and then it formed. And because I just thought it was beautiful, really, like, you know, I'd never heard anything like it.
Yeah.
It sucks that so late in my life I had to experience, you know, that. But I mean, I'm glad I did, you know.
Yeah, at least you're doing it now, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good thing. So can you guys talk about the next upcoming album or the first album?
Well, we definitely have a record coming out.
Mm-hmm.
We are still in the works of who is going to produce it for us. But we are not right now focusing on just writing them first. We have about 8 complete tracks. And for an album, we want to have at least 12 tracks.
Something like that.
And the record, you know, for our first record, for people to know, this is Sister Rogers. So we'll see what happens, you know, but definitely everyone will know by this, before the end of the year.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, we'll see what happens with that. And it's like you, with this kind of stuff, too, is like in life, you have to take it day by day, you know, and do what you have to do today. And do your work, and then tomorrow is another day, so it's day by day. You can't really, you never know what's going to happen tomorrow, you know?
Exactly.
Well, can you tell people where they can find, like, listen to your music, more music?
If you just type in Sister Rogers in Google, it'll be the first thing that pops up, or mm-hmm. sisterrogers.com.
Okay.
Is our website.
Rogers with no D, just a G.
Yeah, R-O-G-E-R-S, sisterrogers.com.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't updated the website, but we will this month.
It's kind of under construction. So.
We're going to update it, but definitely the thing to keep is Facebook, and that's where we post everything. We're on day-to-day with that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they can hear the songs on Bandcamp as well, if people are familiar with Bandcamp. But the website is where all our tracks are. And then we have some the two new songs are on YouTube from the KPFK live session with Steve Martin, I mean. And it was a KPFK, and then it's on YouTube, the newest songs. So that's where people can hear those. But it'll definitely sound – it's definitely changed ever since we've played at the radio show live. So it's exciting, you know.
And then, like you said, you have your residency.
Our residency in June at Tex in Echo Park, every Thursday at 10:30, and there's always going to be a guest band, so that's exciting. And we have a show at Tex this month on April 23rd. So it's going to be with our friends The Americans. They are a rockabilly band. And they're actually going to tour right shortly after this show with us. They're going to tour with Ryan Bingham, who wrote Crazy Heart.
Oh, wow.
They're touring with him and his band right after our show together. So it's going to be exciting. I'm excited for them. You guys should check them out too. And then the Summer Twins are going to play with us, and they're our really good friends, and we love their band, their music, and they're great bands, you know? There's a lot of good things happening
here.
Yeah,
you guys should come out. It's going to be a great show.
Yeah, yeah. And it's free, actually, everybody.
Oh, yeah,
hear
that.
It's free. And there's a bar, and it's a 1920s French restaurant that's been there since the 20s, so it's very classy. Nice. You go, and it's free, and it's all ages.
All ages, yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, and you can just have a drink or dinner, whatever. It's nice. It's really nice.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming, you guys.
I don't know what's going on.
So I think we're off air.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, guys, for coming, and we'll see you again soon.
All right. Thank you, guys, for tuning in to KPCUradio.com. This is the Live Variety Show with
Kara
and Daddy. We'll see you next week, or talk to you next week.